Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
So good, so good, so good.
Great brands, great prices. Everyone's got a reason to rack.
You know they have Marc Jacobs?
Nike? Yes.
Just so many good brands.
Vince, Birkenstock, and more brands you love are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. Plus, buy it online and pick it up in-store the same day for free. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your co-host, Austin.
And today we are diving into a case that has left a small Oklahoma community searching for answers and the internet buzzing with theories. It is the story of a 19-year-old recent high school grad named Noah Presgrove. Have you heard about this?
I'm not.
Okay. So Noah went to a party with friends over Labor Day weekend in 2023, so it's pretty recent. And in the early hours of Labor Day, Noah's naked and battered body was found lying on the side of a rural highway. And from the start, nothing about the scene made sense, not to Noah's family, not to the local sheriff, and not to the many people who have been following this case online. Was it a freak accident? Was it a tragic misadventure or something more sinister? Today, we're going to break down everything we know about Noah Presgrove's life and the puzzling circumstances of his death, the investigation so far, and the theories that have emerged in the wake of this mystery. But before we begin, a quick note, this episode will cover an ongoing unsolved case. We'll discuss some graphic details from official reports, as well as speculation that's circulating about what might have happened, and we'll make sure to distinguish between confirmed facts and unconfirmed theories, because there's a lot. So let's get into it. Noah
Presgrove was, by all accounts, an energetic and big-hearted teenager from Comanche, Oklahoma. Standing about 6'1", he was a natural athlete who played football on Friday nights and hit the cross-country trails the next morning. In fact, he was on the football, wrestling, cross-country, and track teams at Comanche High School, so a true all-around sportsman. Friends and family describe Noah as outgoing, often boisterous, and always in a positive mood. According to his older brother, Dalen, Noah was a goofy, loving guy. If you were around Noah, you were more than likely going to be laughing. He just had that type of infectious energy that drew people in and made him very popular amongst different crowds. He didn't care what group you were in at school. He got along with everyone. Noah's loved ones talked about his kindness and his selflessness. One family friend recalled how he had a good heart. His grandmother, Deborah, or Nana Smith, who helped raise Noah, said he was a good, respectful kid. So many people cared about him. Noah even shaved his head as a young teen in solidarity when his great-grandmother was undergoing cancer treatment. He lived with his Nana and great-grandma, Sandra, in a tight-knit household. In fact, his bedroom was right in between theirs. He was always helping them out, mowing the property, doing chores without complaint. This was a young man who put family first. His mother, Casey Elliott, struggled with substance abuse when Noah was younger, so his grandma played a really big role in his upbringing. Casey is now sober and fighting for justice for Noah, which we'll talk about later. Academically, Noah graduated from Comanche High School in May of 2023. He had a big blended family, one of 10 siblings.
10.
And step-siblings.
Good Lord, 10.
It's a lot of kids. I thought 4 was a lot.
4 feels like a lot. Can you imagine 10? How would you even ever have a relationship with any of them?
Well, I'm sure they manage, but I don't think I could have the bandwidth for more than 4. I barely have the bandwidth for 4 10. As it is. 10's a lot. And Noah was the baby brother to many who adored him. And after graduation, Noah was figuring out his future. He thought about college, maybe continuing his wrestling career, but without a scholarship, that wasn't really financially realistic. He tossed around ideas from working on a shrimp boat to becoming a welder. Ultimately, Noah set his sights on serving his country by enlisting in the military. In fact, he was waiting for his cousin Travis to finish high school so that they could join the military together. He wanted them to go through basic training side by side. His cousin, Ashley Chadwick, admired his dedication, saying that Noah's willingness to make that sacrifice at a young age was very admirable. To sum it up, Noah was a lively, caring 19-year-old with big dreams and a bright future ahead of him. And no one could have imagined that by the end of that summer, he'd be at the center of a tragic mystery. Labor Day weekend of 2023, Noah made plans to celebrate with some of his friends. There was this big birthday bash happening at a house in Terrell, Oklahoma. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Terrell or Terrell. I never know. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. But in Oklahoma, it was this tiny rural town not far from the Texas border. Now, Terrell is about 30 miles south of Comanche, and though it's small, it became party central that weekend. The gathering was
party time.
Party time. The gathering was essentially a 4-day party, which I've never heard of a party lasting 4 days to Coachella. Celebrate birthdays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not for a birthday, but like Coachella.
Like I would be really sick of everybody after a normal party. I'm like, when is this over? I want to go get in bed. Like you got 4 days. That's a long time.
You got I don't know, probably 9% of the population that thinks that when they have their birthday, they get to celebrate the whole month.
Yeah. Not me.
It's my birthday month. It's just a fucking birthday. Sorry, go ahead.
You're probably speaking to a lot of our listeners who are like that kind of person that like celebrates their birthday for the whole month. But that was what these friends were doing.
That's a joke between Kelly and I. April 1st comes and we're like, Kelly, it's your birthday month.
Yeah, my birthday was April 3rd, not too long ago. And I actually kept forgetting that it was even my birthday. But I'm 30 freaking 7. It's not even like a monumental birthday. 40, we'll celebrate. But anyway, this party was a 4-day long birthday celebration that ran from Friday through the holiday on Monday. Now, picture a country get together with loud music, ATVs roaring around, and plenty of young people just blowing off steam. Noah and a group of his buddies headed down there to join the fun, and according to his family, the house was packed with partiers on the night of Sunday, September 3rd, which would have been the night before Labor Day. It wasn't just teens, though. Reportedly, adults were present and hosting as well, which later became a point of contention in the community. So who was Noah with that night? One close friend who was there is Jack Newton, Noah's best friend. Jack is 19, like Noah, and the two had been tight for years. Jack later said that Noah was drinking at the party that night, which was not a huge surprise for a bunch of recent graduates, on a holiday weekend on a rural farm. I mean, like, let's not be naive. Yeah. But at some point during that night, there was a little adventure, or misadventure, I guess, when Noah went on a late night ride in an ATV, specifically it was a Polaris Ranger side-by-side, with several other guys from the party. And we don't know exactly what prompted this. Maybe there was a quick joyride through the fields for fun, but it ended abruptly when the ATV rolled over. And it was an accident, but it sounds pretty scary. I've known people who have been killed in accidents like that. Mm-hmm. Noah was tossed around and got banged up, but he survived the rollover and was able to get back on his feet. And the medical examiner's report later noted this ATV incident, explicitly confirming that Noah, quote, survived a rollover ATV accident on the night of the party, end quote. Now, after the ATV crash, Noah was dirty and a bit bloodied up, so he went back into the house to clean himself up. And his friend Jack says that Noah even borrowed a pair of shorts from him to change into, since his own clothes got pretty messy. Noah put on Jack's shorts and likely washed off whatever scrapes or mud he had gotten on from that rollover. But despite the scare, Noah seemed okay and returned to partying. However, things at the house then kind of took a turn. Sometime following the ATV accident, Noah got into an argument, reportedly with his girlfriend, who was also at the party. We don't have the girlfriend's name publicly, and we don't know what the couple argued about, but it was heated enough that Noah was upset. And according to the timeline pieced together later, Noah left the party on foot after that argument, apparently to kind of cool off or maybe even head home. Jack, his best friend, wasn't awake to see this. He told People magazine that he had crashed asleep by then. But based on what friends have said and digital evidence that was gathered later, Noah likely walked out of the house sometime between 3:30 and 4 a.m. on September 4th of 2023. Now, what happened next is where the mystery really begins. Within about 10 minutes of Noah's departure, people at the party noticed that he was gone and they started to worry. In fact, around 3:40, one partygoer posted on social media saying that Noah was missing. Now imagine that. Not even a quarter of an hour after he left, folks were already concerned enough to blast out a missing alert on Snapchat or Facebook. This suggested that something was obviously wrong, or in my opinion, it's like maybe he kind of goes missing a lot, because the Snapchat was just like a dark picture. I think the girl's face was in it. And then the caption just said, "So Noah's missing." And it seemed kind of like a nonchalant thing, like, oh, he just disappears.
Like casual. Like when you're younger and mm-hmm. you drink, you always have the friends that like they have something they're known for. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, when they drink, they disappear. Or when they drink, they act like this. Like,
yeah.
So that it's not like,
I don't think it's that telling. I think as an adult, if you saw someone post that someone is missing, you take it more seriously. But as kids, you know, they're pretty flippant.
Yeah.
Now, perhaps Noah left in a distressed state after the fight with his girlfriend, or maybe someone saw him stumble into the darkness and feared he might get hurt. We can only speculate why the alarm was raised so fast, but it shows that his friends were looking for him almost immediately, and they knew he wasn't there. Despite that, though, no one from the party has admitted to seeing Noah at all after he walked away. He literally vanished into the rural darkness, barefoot or in mismatched shoes, and we'll explain that soon, but he was unreachable by phone, and those chaotic early morning hours must have been kind of frantic for their friends once they realized that Noah was not coming back. Some likely drove around searching, others calling his name, all while likely still under the influence and confused. As sunrise approached and Noah still hadn't turned up, everyone's worst fears were realized. It wouldn't be long before a grim discovery was made a short distance from the party house, bringing the celebration to a horrifying end. In the pre-dawn darkness of Labor Day morning, two drivers traveling along US Highway 81 made a chilling discovery. At about 5:43 a.m. on September 4th, a 911 call came in from a man who had spotted something on the side of the highway. The caller, who identified himself only as Tyler, wasn't sure at first what he was looking at, maybe a deer carcass, but as he slowed down, he thought it looked like a body. In a recording of the 911 call that was later released to the media, Tyler can be heard describing the scene in a tone of shock. It just looked awful odd, he told the dispatcher. Those were his words, awful odd. You can imagine him squinting through his windshield trying to make sense of this shape on the shoulder of the dark highway before dawn. Moments later, a second passerby, Tyler Hardy, heading to work, also called 911. Now, Mr. Hardy nearly hit Noah's body himself. It was lying so close to the white line of the road that it kind of blended into the pavement. And he told the dispatcher, I'm pretty sure there's somebody laying dead along the road. They look naked. I'm staying back.
Whoa.
So Hardy wisely parked his vehicle to block the lane so that no one would run over the body and waited for police to arrive. But both 911 callers noted how strange and disturbing the situation was. There's a human body out there laying in the middle of nowhere, unclothed and motionless in the fetal position. One of them even mentioned seeing a piece of clothing lying in the roadway nearby. When Jefferson County Sheriff's deputies and other first responders arrived at the scene, the sun was just starting to rise, and they quickly confirmed the worst, that this body was indeed a person, a young man, lying on the southbound shoulder of Highway 81 just north of Terrell, whatever. He was unconscious and unresponsive, with obvious severe injuries and no signs of life. The body was naked except for a pair of mismatched shoes, reportedly one Adidas shoe on his left foot and a Hey Dude slip-on on his right. How odd is that?
That's weird.
Completely naked, but he has two mismatched shoes on?
Weird.
His legs were curled up, bent at the knees, almost like he'd been in a fetal position on his side. There was blood pooled around his head on the asphalt. A short distance away, responders found a pair of men's shorts, completely intact and not torn, lying about 30 yards from the body. I've also seen reports that the shorts were actually folded, but I've never heard about who would have folded those. If it was somebody that found him and they found the shorts, so they grabbed him and moved him closer. I have no other details.
And what a weird, if they were folded, what a weird little eerie detail.
Yeah, and they were found 30 yards from Noah's body. They also found pieces of a broken silver chain necklace and then what looked like a fragment of a tooth in the grass nearby. Now, it didn't take long for authorities and locals gathering at the roadside to realize that this was Noah Pressgrove. However, officially identifying him took a little time. Initially, the Oklahoma Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Office simply announced that they had found a deceased 19-year-old male on the highway without a name. The highway was shut down in both directions as investigators combed the scene that Labor Day, causing a huge traffic jam on the normally quiet road. People in the area were already buzzing on social media that the victim was Noah, a beloved recent grad, and the shockwaves started spreading through the community. Within days, Comanche High School, which was Noah's alma mater, held a tribute at a Friday night football game, with both teams wearing t-shirts and praying together in Noah's memory. The official confirmation from the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation came about a week later on September 12th when they publicly released Noah Pressgrove's name as the person found dead on Highway 81. Oh, for the officers on scene that morning, the situation was perplexing from the get-go. Initially, they wondered if this was a case of hit and run, perhaps a tragic accident where a driver struck Noah in the dark and then fled. But the physical evidence didn't line up neatly with a typical car accident. There were no skid marks, no broken car parts, no shattered glass, no debris at all around Noah's body. Nothing to indicate that he had been sideswiped or run over by a passing vehicle. Jefferson County Sheriff Jeremy Wilson, one of the first responders, later admitted, quote, "We've had other people hit by cars before, and we can recreate it and make it make sense. This whole situation didn't sit well with me," end quote. In other words, it just looked too strange to be an ordinary roadside accident. So the phrase suspicious death was used almost immediately by investigators. Noah's body itself told a horrific story of trauma. One responder described that his whole body was laid along the white line of the highway on his side. His injuries were extreme, and later reports would reveal that Noah's skull was split at the base, essentially a fracture separating the skull's bottom. Part of his scalp was peeled back 8 inches, exposing bone, and his spine was also fractured. Now, according to one news account, several of Noah's teeth were knocked out and found scattered around him, and some of his ribs were broken.
God, that's gruesome. It sounds like somebody beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, exactly. These injuries were catastrophic, far beyond what you would expect from someone who simply fell down or passed out on the road, or even from someone that suffered injuries from an ATV accident, but then was able to get up and walk away. Like, that does not, the ATV accident is a completely separate thing in my mind when I hear about these injuries.
Agreed.
Now, the authorities at the scene realized that they were dealing with a mystery. How did Noah end up like this, a mile from the party, with such severe wounds? By dawn, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation had been called in, and the case was being treated as a suspicious death. Investigators took photos, collected the physical evidence, the shorts, the necklace pieces, and the teeth fragments, and likely mapped out the location of Noah's body relative to the road. Noah's remains were transported for autopsy by the medical examiner, and the highway was reopened after several hours. But for Noah's loved ones, the nightmare was only just beginning. They had lost a son, a brother, and a friend in a horrifying way, and now they faced agonizing questions about what exactly had happened in those lost hours of the night. From day one, law enforcement has walked a careful line in this case. They've called Noah's death suspicious, yet also indicated that they did not immediately label it a homicide. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol and OSBI launched a joint investigation. OSBI, being the state investigative agency, took the lead, and Jefferson County deputies and OHP troopers assisted. Now, this means that resources like state crime scene analysts and specialized agents were all on the case. Still, in a rural area, major investigations can be challenging, and everyone knows everyone, rumors fly fast, and concrete evidence can be hard to come by, especially if a lot of time has passed before evidence was collected. Now, remember, the party house itself was not secured by police immediately after Noah was found, and this is something that his family has criticized. The autopsy on Noah Presgrove was crucial to understanding his cause of death. After several months of examination, the Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office released a summary of findings on April 30th of 2024. That is a long time. From September to April, that's a long time to wait for answers. But the autopsy determined that Noah died from multiple blunt force injuries, confirming what everyone suspected from the gruesome trauma. This means that he had sustained many impacts to his body, consistent with things like a high-speed vehicle impact, a fall from a great height, or a severe beating or assault. However, the ME could not say for sure how Noah got those injuries. The report explicitly listed the manner of death as undetermined. In other words, they don't know what killed him, the blunt force trauma. I'm sorry, they do know what killed him, which was the blunt force trauma, but not how or why it happened. It wasn't clearly a homicide, suicide, or accident, or natural death, so they had to leave that part undetermined. Now, the details from the autopsy report shed a bit more light on Noah's final hours. It noted that Noah had been at a party and that he had survived an ATV rollover earlier that night. It also documented that after returning to the party, Noah allegedly got into an argument with his girlfriend before leaving the party again. And this is how we know about the girlfriend dispute. It actually made it into the official narrative in the report, likely based on witness statements. The autopsy timeline then has a gap from when Noah left the party to when he was found.
I agree with you that the ATV rollover was completely separate.
Mm-hmm. According to the report, Noah was discovered at approximately 5:53 by that passing truck driver. That's roughly when the first 911 call was placed.
5:53 a.m.?
Mm-hmm. The location was the southbound side highway of Highway 81. Importantly, as we noted, the report says no vehicle debris was found at the scene, which would have been a strong clue that this was not a straightforward hit-and-run scenario. And, you know, it makes me think of the Karen Reed case. I know you're not super familiar with this case, but she's being tried again, and her trial, I think, is actually about to start, if it hasn't already, by the time we've posted this. But the allegations are that Karen Reed backed into her boyfriend, Boston cop John O'Keefe, and left him out in the snow to die. And people are theorizing that she backed into him because there was apparently some damage to her Lexus. And then they also apparently found fragments of plastic that would have been from the red taillight. So I'm thinking in my head, first of all, I don't think Karen did. I don't think Karen Reed is responsible for John O'Keefe's death. That's another episode, another topic for another day. But what it makes me think is how they can find microscopic pieces of paint or plastic or something from a vehicle on someone that's been hit by a car. So the fact that they have found nothing on Noah that says he was hit by a car, like nothing from the actual car itself, is suspicious.
And how far was it from the party?
About a mile. Now, the autopsy also itemized Noah's injuries, and he had severe head trauma, neck and torso injuries, and injuries to his extremities. Essentially, multiple regions of the body were impacted here. Despite the violence that was done to his body, some items were oddly undamaged, like the shorts that he had borrowed, which were found intact. And his shoes, aside from being mismatched, were not shredded. Investigators did toxicology tests as part of the autopsy, but the results showed no drugs in Noah's system, no meth, cocaine, opiates, or substance of any kind of drugs, nothing. They did find alcohol in his blood, which is consistent with him having been drinking at the party, but we kind of knew, kind of expected that. But the exact blood alcohol level was not publicized. The medical examiner did not opine on whether the alcohol level was high enough to impair Noah or contribute to what happened, just that it was present.
Well, the blunt force trauma and everything, I mean, seems not as a dominant factor.
Yeah, I guess in my mind, the reason that they might bring this up is to say if he was super intoxicated, he could have been swaying and stumbling on the road and maybe stumbled into the highway and got hit by a car. Like, maybe that's how they were trying to make it make sense. Mm-hmm. But one outside expert, Dr. Priya Banerjee, who was a forensic pathologist not officially on the case, reviewed Noah's autopsy and commented to People magazine. She pointed out that something seemed to have hit Noah very hard on the left side of his head, but that it's hard to conclude anything beyond that without more evidence. The distribution of injuries could fit multiple scenarios. In the autopsy report, the examiner, Dr. Leonardo Roquero, concluded, quote, "At this time, what transpired on how the body was found on the road having multiple blunt force injuries is unknown. Therefore, the manner of death is deemed undetermined." It's basically a formal way of saying, we don't know how this happened. So, like, all these experts are coming together and nobody can figure it out. By May 1st of 2024, the day after that autopsy summary came out, the Oklahoma Highway Patrol made a public statement that they were not currently investigating this death as a murder. And this statement raised a lot of eyebrows and even angered some of Noah's supporters. To many, it sounded like the authorities were suggesting Noah's death was just an accident. Law enforcement clarified that the investigation was ongoing, just that they didn't have evidence at the time to call it a homicide. An OHP spokeswoman, Sarah Stewart, later explained that as a matter of standard procedure, they wouldn't release more info until the case was closed, but she reiterated the investigation is not over. Essentially, the cops are keeping things close to the vest. They've interviewed many people, all the partygoers, we assume, and followed up on leads, but no one has been arrested or charged with any crime at the time of this recording. Noah's family, feeling the investigation was moving too slow or that secrets were being kept, decided to launch their own search for answers. They hired a private investigator named Kathy Bingham, who started digging into what happened at the party. According to Noah's brother, Daylan, the PI zeroed in on two individuals who were at the party that night and has shared her findings with law enforcement. We don't know exactly who those two people are or what they supposedly know, but this indicates that there may be specific people of interest who could fill in the blanks. Meanwhile, the family also noticed what they felt were missteps in the official probe. For instance, they say police never searched the house or property where the party took place in the aftermath. And if true, that could mean a lot of lost evidence. Perhaps there was blood on the ground or Noah's personal items or who knows what that vanished once the partygoers dispersed, right? The homeowner of the party, identified as a woman named Avery Howard, lawyered up pretty quickly. Through her attorney, the homeowner's family expressed sympathy for Noah's death and insisted that they were cooperating fully with the investigators. Now, for context, Avery Howard is a young woman from the local Wilcoxon family, and it was her birthday party, according to some of the reports. There's no accusation officially against her or her family, but some community members questioned the adult's supervision at that party.
I mean, I feel like that's being naive to think like, oh, it was all supervised.
Mm-hmm.
Like, It's kids partying.
It's like, yeah, if it's supervised, but we know that they're all drinking in there. I saw some reports where they were doing these fight club parties, like where they would just fight each other, but it was like supposed to be for fun. They're punching each other for fun.
Not uncommon.
I mean, these kids are idiots. Yeah. Like most kids are.
Most kids are idiots. Mm-hmm. I was an idiot.
Yeah.
Still am.
No.
Just kidding. Kind of.
So at this stage, spring and summer of 2024, we have a case where police are treating it as unsolved and suspicious, but not calling it a murder. The autopsy confirms the cause of death, but not the cause of injuries, and no one is facing any charges. It's this very frustrating limbo. And Sheriff Jeremy Wilson said that the situation didn't sit well with him from day one. And you can bet it doesn't sit well with Noah's family either. One of the hardest parts for them has been the lack of clear answers. As Noah's cousin Ashley put it, quote, none of it makes sense. It doesn't make sense that a good person like Noah is gone in such a cruel and unknown way. The uncertainty is probably torment to the family. So next, let's talk about how Noah's family and friends have been coping in the aftermath and what they've been trying to do to get the truth out.
One just random thought real quick. So I saw this, I think of this whenever I hear these cases, especially when they're rural. So I saw this post on Instagram the other day that was like, in today's world, you're constantly being recorded. And it talked about the number of cameras and stuff. And I looked it up. And so estimates indicate that there are approximately 85 million security cameras installed across the country, encompassing public spaces, business, and residential areas. It equates to about 15 cameras per 100 people. And then on top of that, 72% of households have at least one home security device, approximately 51 million households utilizing surveillance systems. And it's just wild because I think like, you know, when I always hear these crimes, these stories, you know, whenever there's, oh, well, a truck pulled into a gas station and we got them on footage there and then we don't see them again. But like you have something. But these rural cases where they're out in the middle of nowhere and 1 mile away and it's like, there's nothing. It's just kind of mind-boggling that we're in, you know, whatever year this, 2024, but 2025 here. And it's like, these things can happen and like, it's completely untraced.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy to think about when you think about all the cameras out there. Like there's closed circuit television everywhere. Like think about it now next time you walk in the store. Yesterday I was walking into Price Chopper and I was looking up at Price Chopper and there's a ton of cameras looking at the parking lot. And you don't even really like think about it. I mean, obviously it's obvious, right? But it's like, you don't think about it like, oh, I'm being recorded. And when I turn out of here and go down the road, I'm getting picked up by that gas station's camera. And when I go down there, I'm getting picked up by that center's camera. Mm-hmm. And you're always on camera. But these rural cases, it's like, no one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a weird thought I had.
It is interesting. I see where you're going with it. Because that brings me back again to the Karen Reed case, where you think about how many people have a Ring camera or something that faces their front door. I mean, you'd almost be hard-pressed to find someone who doesn't
right.
have a Ring camera. But apparently, the night of Don O'Keefe's death, there was no Ring camera footage of Karen. Yeah. And so I'm just like using that as my go-to example because it's just another case that doesn't make sense like this one. But mm-hmm.
And it's especially interesting when you say some of these older cases, like when you're reading ones that this happened in the 70s. And it's mm-hmm. like, man, what a different time that like, at least for sure me, I can't even comprehend like, what was that like?
Yeah.
Now at least you have all these cameras. I don't know. It's just wild.
Yeah.
Random thought.
Now, from the moment that the news broke that the body on Highway 81 was Noah Presgrove, the community of Comanche and beyond rallied around this family. This wasn't just a local story. It quickly garnered national attention through social media and press coverage. A Facebook page called Justice for Noah Presgrove was set up, which now has over 31,000 followers. People from all over the country and even the world joined what came to be known as Noah's Army, which was now an online community determined to help find answers and keep Noah's memory alive. For Noah's family, his parents, siblings, cousins, and especially his Nana, the past year has been incredibly difficult. They've had to face all the firsts without Noah. His first birthday that he wasn't there for, he would have turned 20 on May 14th of 2024. And he would have been 21 in like, what, a few weeks?
Yeah.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And The Epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And the first holidays, the first anniversary of his death, all of these things were first that he missed. I can't even imagine, you know, we talk about these cases a lot, but I think it sometimes gets forgotten that there are real people suffering, real heartbreak because of the loss of somebody. So I just, my heart does go out to his family. Noah's mom, Casey Elliott, gave an emotional interview to the local news around that time. And through tears, she pleaded, quote, please, somebody, please just say something. Anybody. I have mercy on their souls. He was just an all around boy. He was a son that everyone would want. He was my son and I miss him. End quote. It's heartbreaking. She even said that she kills herself every day in grief and that she's trying to find peace but can't until she knows what happened. I cannot imagine that with my son.
The unknown would kill you.
Noah's siblings have also been vocal. His older sister, Madison Rawlings, told Fox News, quote, I hope he went fast. I hope that he wasn't in pain. And I hope that his death wasn't caused by someone he loved. And that statement really hits home. The possibility that someone close to Noah might have been involved is almost too painful for them to even consider. Yet the unknown does haunt them. Madison also expressed frustration that after a year, no one has come forward to tell them how he ended up dead along the highway. She said the family's sympathy for anyone withholding information has become non-existent at this point. They just want the truth. Noah's brother, Dalen Presgrove, who's 24 now, has become something of a family spokesperson. He said, quote, we won't stop until Noah has justice. Dalen actually was a teacher at Noah's high school and knew his little brother as both family and student, and he has been tirelessly working on social media and with the private investigator to piece together the clues. Dalen said publicly, quote, somebody knows something. With so much time passing, it seems that the stories from that night are changing, and it's hard to trust anyone. Now, that gives you kind of an idea of the atmosphere, the rumor and gossip, people maybe recanting or altering their accounts, perhaps out of fear or loyalty, or the fact that they were all drunk and can't even
recount exactly what happened.
Right. Which is very frustrating.
How gruesome it was makes it all that much worse, too. Mm-hmm. Like teeth and trauma to the head like he had. Like
broken ribs.
It was gruesome. Like whoever did it, how do you live with yourself?
Yeah.
I wonder that, I keep going on these tangents. I wonder that, like, gang activity and stuff. Like, how do people live with themselves knowing that they, like, could beat the shit out of or kill somebody who they have nothing to do with? Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Have something to do with them or not. It's like, how do you live with yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. Dalen and others in Noah's circle strongly believe that at least one person who was at the party knows exactly what happened, but for one reason or another is just not saying anything. Whether it's out of fear of getting in trouble, protecting a friend, or something more nefarious, we can just only guess. The broader public has not been idle either. A man in Oregon named Michael Fazekas, who was moved by Noah's story despite not knowing him, started an online petition in May of 2024. The petition calls for justice and specifically demands that charges be filed against the homeowners who hosted the party where Noah was last seen. It alleges that this was a dangerous party hosted by adults and accuses law enforcement of negligence in not holding those adults accountable so far. It also references witness testimonies and photographic proof that are apparently floating around and decries inconsistencies in the timeline and investigation. Now, as of August 5th of 2024, that petition had about 3,800 signatures out of a goal of only 5,000. And while it hasn't prompted any official action yet, it shows how people even far from Oklahoma felt invested in this case. And another act of generosity, a woman from Duncan, Oklahoma, which is another town kind of in the region, named Jan Fiorio, made a unique offer in July of 2024. She publicly offered to pay for legal representation for the person who comes forward with viable information about Noah's case. In other words, if a witness is afraid to speak up because they worry they might get themselves into trouble, she would foot the bill for their attorney to protect them. Jan said she felt connected to Noah after hearing his life story, and she wanted to do something that might crack the wall of silence surrounding the case. This kind of community involvement is remarkable. It's people putting money, time, and effort on the line, refusing to let Noah's story fade away. Media coverage also ramped up as the one-year anniversary of Noah's death approached. People magazine ran a detailed cover story in July of 2024 and several follow-up articles, which brought national attention and even more public pressure. Fox News Digital interviewed Noah's family in September of 2024 for the anniversary, spreading word to an even wider audience. And the case was also discussed on forums like Reddit and true crime social media communities, fueling a lot of theories, some informed, some kind of wild. Feeling that more tips might be out there, though, Noah's family decided to put up a reward for information. By late October of 2024, they announced a $16,000 reward for anyone who can provide information leading to a conviction in Noah's death. Noah's grandmother, Deborah Smith, said, quote, "We are hoping someone will see this offer and be compelled to come forward. The lack of information and misinformation surrounding Noah's death is mind-blowing. In the end, our family just wants the truth of what happened to him so that we may see some justice." As of now, the official stance from the law enforcement remains that they are investigating and cannot comment further. The OSBI and OHP insist that they're still on the case and that they're heading in the right direction, but publicly they've given no indication of a breakthrough. Now, next, we're going to discuss some of the major theories and speculation that have been circulating about what might have happened to Noah Pressgrove that night, but I'm going to do my best to separate fact from rumor as best as I can. More than a year has passed since Noah Pressgrove's death, and in that time, a number of theories have emerged. So let's break down some of the most talked about possibilities. Remember, these are speculations. Some come from bits of evidence or witness statements. Others are from pure conjecture online. So I'm going to focus on the theories that at least have some basis in facts or widespread discussion, and we'll clearly distinguish these theories from what's verified. So one theory, of course, is that there was a hit and run by an unknown individual in an unknown vehicle.
But there's nothing for the car to show it, so I don't believe that one. Next.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, there's more to talk about here, but this was the first scenario that came to mind for many. Noah walking along a dark highway at 5 a.m. might have been struck by a passing car or truck whose driver didn't see him and fled. This one does sound like it would be the most plausible. Like, if you're considering Occam's razor, this would probably make the most sense. You know, usually the most obvious thing seems to be true. And it could explain the blunt force trauma and why he was found on the road. However, investigators quickly grew doubtful of this scenario because, as we noted, there was no vehicle debris or skid marks at the scene.
And the injuries.
Yeah. And in most car versus pedestrian collisions, something is left behind, whether it's shattered headlights, paint chips, etc. Like in the case of Karen Reed and John O'Keefe, there were a ton of broken headlight fragments scattered among the yard. And granted, I don't think that they ended up there because of someone backing into a human. Again, if you want to listen to that case, it really is very interesting. And I did an episode on it last year, right before Ellie was born. So it would have been like June or July of 2024, if you want to listen to it. But anyway, what they're suggesting is that just by backing into somebody and breaking a headlight, you leave pieces
tail
behind.
Taillight,
yes. Mm-hmm. And so to think of a car impacting a body so strongly that it breaks their skull, breaks their ribs, their teeth fall out. Something of the car has got to be left behind.
Yeah.
But there's none of that. And in fact, Oklahoma authorities have stated that they do not believe Noah was involved in a classic hit and run accident. His body position being in the fetal position and the fact that his clothes were off and that his shorts were removed but intact.
Yeah, the dude didn't get hit by a car.
Yeah. it also complicates that idea. So we'll move on to the next one. The next theory is an accident or foul play post-party, or the cover-up scenario. Many who follow the case suspect that something happened to Noah after he left the party involving one or more of the people that he was with, and that his body may have been moved to the highway to stage an accident. This theory branches into a few sub-theories, but the common thread is that there's this idea of a cover-up. For example, one scenario is that Noah, still perhaps disoriented from alcohol or his earlier ATV tumble, might have gotten into another ATV or a car with someone after leaving on foot. Perhaps he fell off or was accidentally run over by that vehicle. If the driver or passengers were from the party and panicked, maybe because they'd been drinking underage or because they were friends who freaked out, they might have decided not to call 911 right away. Instead, perhaps, and this is speculation, they left Noah by the roadside to make it look like a hit and run. This could explain his lack of clothing. If he was dragged or carried in a vehicle, his shorts and one shoe might have come off and been left in the road, or someone might have removed his clothing for reasons unknown, possibly to destroy evidence like vomit or blood on them, or maybe just in a confused state. The mismatched shoes raise questions too, and one thought is that after the ATV crash earlier, Noah lost one of his own shoes, so he put on an extra shoe that was just lying around when he left the party. And if that's the case, he may have been in a hurry or not fully in his right mind when he was leaving. Now, another version of the cover-up theory leans toward intentional harm, perhaps that Noah got into a physical altercation with somebody that he argued with and that he was assaulted. And if a fight broke out, could someone have struck Noah with a blunt object or thrown him off a porch or into something, causing his fatal injuries? And then, fearing consequences, they or their friends moved him to the road? Noah's broken necklace and tooth at the party site, if indeed those items came off at the site and were later found along the road, could hint at a struggle. However, we have to note that there's no direct evidence publicly known of a fight or murder. No witness has said, "I saw Noah get attacked," or "they saw Noah fighting." This is mostly just suspicion, and the fact that OSBI hasn't arrested anyone for assault or homicide suggests that they don't have enough proof of foul play, or they truly think it was some kind of bizarre accident. Still, Noah's family leans toward believing someone at the party knows more, and many online commentators do too. Dalen has mentioned conflicting accounts from witnesses and even suggested some sound like they're reading off a script, implying this possible coordinated story. And that's not totally out of the realm of possibility either. We've seen this kind of thing play out with the Murdochs and Stephen Smith being hit by a car, or, you know, allegedly it's this hit and run, but there's all these other theories. I mean, we've seen not only friends cover up for people, but parents cover up for their kids. The Murdochs try to do it. So, and that's another rural community. So
the laundries.
And the laundries. I mean, exactly. It's not out of the realm that parents would protect their kids after they made a big mistake and disregard a human life in the process. Mm-hmm. One tangible bit fueling these suspicions is that the party was hosted by adults and allegedly involved underage drinking, which we know it did. It's not alleged. We know there was underage drinking. The petition by Michael Frazikas explicitly calls it a dangerous party hosted by adults and implies that there's overwhelming evidence of negligence. If older adults supplied alcohol to minors, which of course is illegal, and something bad happened as a result, those adults could face charges. And some community members believe that the homeowners or an adult that was present might have been trying to avoid legal trouble, influencing how people responded that night. So that's another thing you could consider, is that they're not only trying to protect their kids from getting in trouble, but themselves. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, a third theory is Noah's own actions and a possible solo accident. So another angle to consider is whether Noah on his own could have ended up in a lethal accident. For instance, could he have wandered off, maybe decided to walk or run home along the highway while drunk, and then somehow fallen from a high place or been clipped by a large vehicle's wake? The area is rural, but are there any overpasses or bridges? Not really. Highway 81 near Terrell is a flat open road. However, there are other hazards, like maybe he climbed into a tractor or climbed on a truck he thought was heading his way and fell off. I mean, that's so absurd. I just think that that's very imaginative, but it is a theory that someone floated on Reddit, and This theory suggested that Noah might have tried to hitch a ride by jumping onto a moving semi-truck or trailer, given his free-spirited, goofy nature, and then lost his grip. But this is very far-fetched, and there is zero evidence of it.
I'm going with option number two. What do you think?
I think you're going, I thought with, oh yeah, option number two. Yeah, yeah, that there was an assault at the party. Option one was a hit and run.
Either an assault at the party or an assault randomly. One of the two.
Yeah. Now, in summary, the two big camps of theory are accident or no foul play versus foul play with a cover-up. And the verified facts we have that Noah had an ATV accident but survived it, he argued with his girlfriend. I've also seen reports that he argued with his best friend, Jack, but I haven't seen that actually confirmed anywhere. And that maybe Jack's dad helped cover up something to protect Jack. I mean, there are so many theories, but anyway, the theory, I guess, is that he left the party on foot. He was found with fatal injuries on a highway with no obvious hit and run evidence, and no one admits to seeing how he ended up there. The speculation built on those facts includes various accident and cover-up scenarios. Law enforcement appears to be leaning toward an accident, or at least not enough evidence of homicide. And the family and many others suspect that there's more to the story, potentially criminal, and maybe the truth lies somewhere in between. As listeners, we have to balance these possibilities and remember that we don't have all the information that the detectives do. But one more unanswered question that people often ask is, why haven't any arrests been made if something fishy happened? It could be that the physical evidence doesn't conclusively point to any one person's involvement, and if witnesses are not talking or are providing conflicting stories, it's hard to build a case beyond reasonable doubt. You have to remember, anytime it comes to actually charging someone with a crime, you get one chance to prove it beyond reasonable doubt. And there can be evidence out the wazoo that you think makes sense, right? It's common sense that X plus Y equals Z. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just not always that black and white, unfortunately, as much as I wish it was. Like Casey Anthony. Casey Anthony. But that's another example. Mm-hmm. Now, as of now, Noah Pressgrove's case remains an open mystery. He was a young man full of life and promise who went to a party and wound up dead in a manner that defies easy explanation. The official cause of death is multiple blunt force injuries, and the official manner of death is undetermined. Unofficially, the case has all the ingredients of a true crime whodunit that has captured the attention of thousands, an inexplicable crime scene, a wall of silence or confusion from potential witnesses, a grieving family on a quest for justice, and a community rallying to keep the spotlight on the investigation. Noah's loved ones have made it clear that they're not going to let this case go cold. They're fighting for answers through social media campaigns, hiring a PI, offering a reward, and speaking to any media outlet that will listen. The hope is that someone who knows something, even a small detail, will finally feel compelled to come forward, especially with the incentive of legal support or reward money. It might be a partygoer who overheard a confession or a friend who was sworn to secrecy but is battling their conscience. As Noah's grandmother put it, somebody knows something, and that somebody could hold the key to resolving this case. I will keep following Noah's case and hoping for a resolution that brings peace to his family. And if anyone out there listening has information, no matter how minor it seems, consider reaching out to the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation or the Justice for Noah Pressgrove Facebook page. As Noah's mom pleaded, please, somebody, just something, anybody, they are desperate for some answers. And sometimes it just takes one person, one detail to finally crack a case. So thank you so much for listening to this deep dive into the case of Noah Pressgrove. It's a haunting mystery, and our hearts go out to everyone who loved Noah. Stay safe, hug your loved ones, and as always, stay curious. Any last thoughts out of you?
Stay dope.
Stay dope, guys.
Stay cool.
Stay curious and stay dope.
Mama, mystery out.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.